All right. We're going to continue our teaching on New Testament baptisms. I ordered several more books. I hope you have picked up your books. And if you haven't, Angela, you can see Angela. But each one of the messages are in this book, and you can do a devotion each day that goes along with the message I'm teaching. And this is an excellent biblical foundation book. It's a wonderful book for those of you that want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so God put some responsibility on us to learn. Yeah, he just doesn't download everything to us. You know, we're used to downloading stuff. We download things from all the information we want from the cloud, right? We can go on Google and find just about anything that we would like and just download it, and right there we have access to it. But we still have to read it, don't we? So God has bless this ministry. We use this as our discipleship training books. This is book 3. And so I encourage you, we would like for every member of the River of Life to go through this series. Hallelujah. And I'm not real sure why we're closing the doors. I don't know if that's going to make it stuffier in here. So Elder Ron, will you please take care of that? If you need a river update today, would you please hold up your hand? Normally, we would close the doors. Hallelujah, because the air conditioner, did you know that big old air conditioning unit only cools this room right here? Apostle Leonard said, well, yeah, he said, I thought about that years ago, how much money it costs to run that big old unit just to cool this room. So hallelujah, it's probably not fixable. So that's okay. Because God continues to upgrade us. Tell your neighbor, we're getting an upgrade at River of Life. Everything we've been doing, we have been doing with the future in our focus and getting upgrades. Amen. We just signed a contract for upgrades on the lighting system. Board of Directors voted on that, so we are excited over this summer. We are praying, pray with us, that Pro Imagination gets the lighting system in. These lights moved with us from the theater downtown. So sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. If you've ever noticed, sometimes we end up in the dark. And once again, they are old, and it costs a lot of electricity to run them. They have newer and more efficient lighting now for stage lighting. So we are excited about what God's doing. Amen? So he keeps upgrading us. So hopefully you have one of these and just purchase one of these. They're just $5, and they're really worth it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we get into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord, that it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharp, and it cuts between the soul and the spirit. Lord, do whatever cutting you need to do this morning in our lives. Just like we sang, yes, Lord. We're saying, yes, Lord. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you'd repeat after me, Lord, help me to be skilled in your word. Get it from my head to my heart. Bring it on down. Lord, help me to be skilled in your word. Get it from my head to my heart. Bring it on down. Amen. We are to be students of the word. Amen. So we're going to study this morning baptism into the body of Christ and the baptism of fire. So point number one, baptism into the body of Christ. Would you read this scripture with me? For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. So we are baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit supernaturally places us into the family of God. We're baptized and we come into a family. We are on earth to become God's hands, feet, tongue, etc., with various functions, gifts, and callings. And so we are one. Tell your neighbor, we're one. And you see, you're not here by choice, but you were appointed by God. God appointed you before you were ever born for this moment, this time, this church, this place, this family. These are your brothers and sisters. God picked them for you. Amen? It's kind of like the natural family. You didn't ask to be born in that family. But God decided that's who your parents were going to be. And those are your annoying brothers and sisters, which you love dearly. Amen. So as the family of God, we want to honor God's name. Your parents have probably said something to you about honor the family name. Don't dishonor our name. Did anybody ever hear that? So as the family of God, we are on this earth to represent our Heavenly Father, our Daddy God. He's our Daddy, and He loves us. So we all have a function in the body to get what needs to be done, done. And we all have spiritual tasks, and we have natural tasks. And the family of God is very much like the family unit that God designed from the beginning. And so you come together, you work together, you get things done together in the natural, and you pray together. You study the Bible together. And hopefully that's what we do in our homes. Because the stronger our families are, the stronger the church will be. The stronger our families are, the stronger our community will be. God made the family before He ever made the church. And so recognizing that the family is so important and the family of God is so important. Have you ever noticed farmers usually have large families? Because they have a lot of work to get done, right? Yeah, Leonard comes from a large family. He was sharing with me this week. He said he can remember when he was very, very young, his dad waking him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and saying, it's your turn to plow. Get out on the plow. You got to plow 3 hours. At 3 in the morning. They have headlights on the plows, you know. Yeah, they had 60 hours of plowing to do. And how many children shared that? Probably 3 with your dad. There was 5 of you that shared that plowing. So, yeah, everybody took their turn. But they got a lot accomplished. So, you know what? God has a lot of kids too. And you're one of God's kids. You're one of His children. He might wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray. Come on. We're plowing in a different way. We're plowing in the Spirit. We're praying the will of God into the earth realm. Not our will, but yours be done. So He might wake you up at 3. Anybody ever get woke up at 3? Oh, yeah. We have some intercessors woke up at 3. And you just start to pray. Amen. So God intended for us to work together to fulfill the Great Commission. And we talked about the Great Commission last week. He called us to preach the gospel, to go into all nations, to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to fulfill all that God has commanded. And so we have a responsibility. And together, the acronym for TEAM, together everyone accomplishes more. So if we woke up every day just looking for someone to bless and to share the love of God with, I think we could change the atmosphere of Elkhart. If you just had a smile on your face. If it becomes community wherever you go. Community wherever you go. We're so suspicious of people, and, you know, rightfully so, because of everything you hear on the news. But, you know, all you hear is bad news. What did they say? TV is a medium because it never really has anything really good to say. So it's not well done. It's just medium. It's a medium. But it sends us reports that can put fear in our hearts and keep us from connecting with people. And, you know, that's the plan of the enemy. That's the plan of the enemy. So I encourage you, connect with somebody this week and be an encourager. Be the body of Christ. So point number two, God's wonderful family. When we are born again into God's family, we become brothers and sisters in Christ to every other believer in the world. God's family is made up of people from every nationality, race, and culture. And let's read this verse. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." God has redeemed us to reign on the earth. God has already defeated the enemy. He came, he sent him, you know, he was cast out of heaven into the earth. And he was cast into our domain. Did not God give us dominion over the earth? All right, so we have the authority over all the power of the enemy. Our job every morning when we get up is to torment the devil. Not let the devil torment us. You see, God has already defeated him. He has put us on this earth and redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus from every tribe, tongue, and nation. There is no difference in the kingdom of God. We are all kingdom people. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. We are sons and daughters of the King of the universe. 2 Corinthians 6:18. Let's read it together. "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." He calls us sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. So we are family. So tell your people sitting around you, "Hello, brother, hello, sister." You can give him a high five if you want to. We had a tradition of calling people brother or sister. And it's a greeting to recognize that they are your brother and sister in Christ. It's a way of remembering. We would always shake someone's hand and say, "Praise the Lord," and whatever their name was, "Brother, praise the Lord, Brother Leonard." And that gets confusing for some people, especially in the Catholic Church where they call the nuns sisters. I was asked many times, "Are you Catholic?" Because my friends would hear someone from church call me Sister Janet. And they still do when I run into them. I am their sister in the Lord, right? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a greeting of love. It's a greeting of respect. It's honoring the place that God has given them in your life. Amen? And that's what we're to do. We're to respect. We're to defend. We're to protect one another. We're to have one another's backs. We're not supposed to be the one that is stabbing someone in the back. We're protecting the back. Thank you, Lord. The scripture says that the world will know us by the love that we have one for another. And I read a quote that said this: we like someone because, and we love someone although. Do you get it? Yeah. We like someone because, but we love someone although. When you love someone and you're in close relationship with them, you know their weaknesses. You know what presses their buttons. Sometimes you're guilty of pressing a few, especially kids know how to get at their brothers and sisters. Amen. All right, let's go on. We're not going to hang there. So we are the family of God. You got that message, right? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm sure some of you could come up and tell some great stories about. we'll have to do that at a fun night some Wednesday night. Tell stories. Because you know you're mature when you can laugh at yourself. Okay? When you're not all defensive and get all shook up because, someone's saying something. That's the truth that you don't want anybody else to know. Amen. Baptism of fire. Let's go on. Luke 3:16. Let's see what that one says. John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire is a symbol of purification and power. And B, trials are difficult times are a type of baptism of fire. Has anyone been through the fire? More than once, right? More than once. It's interesting. People will get saved and they think life's going to be easier. Aren't going to have any troubles. Is that what happens, church? No way. Okay, the Lord wants to purify us during these times. This is C. Should be up there. Yeah, the Lord wants to purify us during these times, but the cleaning process may not be easy. Let's read Luke 3:17. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And so this is a picture of the winnowing fork and tossing the wheat up in the air, and the wheat comes down and the fan blows away the chaff and it's burned. So that's what happens in our lives. Right? Things come to the surface. In the book, it talks about point D is when spiritual slag is revealed in our lives, Jesus will help us get rid of those impurities. And the author's talking about metal. He's talking about heating up metal and how the slag comes to the top and you have to clear that away. And this is what happens in our life. We get the baptism of fire and you find out what's really in your heart, don't you? It's like putting you in the vise. God has this big vise, and sometimes I have felt like God's put me in this big vise, and he just puts the squeeze on me. And when you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice, right? You squeeze a lemon, you get lemon juice. And when God squeezes you, what does he get? Does he get more God? We find out in the middle of the squeeze, don't we? Amen. It's interesting how in school we're taught lessons and then we're given a test. But it seems like with God, we're given a test and then we're taught the lesson. Have you ever experienced that? It's kind of like the reverse. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on and talk about drinking the cup. Number four, drinking the cup. Jesus asked his disciples if they were willing to suffer for the cause of the kingdom. And let's read Matthew. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." So the disciples said they were willing to suffer, but later they deserted Jesus when he was arrested. And Jesus reached out and forgave them because he understands their weaknesses. So in the midst of the squeeze, we can be tempted to deny Jesus Christ. In the middle of it, we can be tempted to give in to the temptation. Are you willing to suffer with me for the cause of the kingdom of God? Tell your neighbor, there's a price to pay. Jesus said the world hated him, and the world is going to hate you. So when you're hated by people in the world, don't let it upset you so much. You know, it's just fulfilling the scripture. It's fulfilling what Jesus said. And I hope you're not being obnoxious, and that's why they hate you. But when they hate you without a cause, have you ever been in that situation? Come on. We have been in those situations where people hate us without a cause. They don't even know us. Because you know if they knew us, they'd love us, right? Couldn't help it, right? All right. Point number five says, count it all joy. God wants us to trust him when we go through the fire. Let's read this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Count it all joy. We spend a lot of time teaching on complaining and the effects of complaining, not only on the people around us, but on our own bodies. Complaining has a very negative effect. When you hold negativity in your energy system, it affects your internal organs. That's why God wants us to have a joyful heart. That's why God wants us to think on things that are lovely and pure and of a good report. He even tells us what to think about. When we start thinking about our problems and worrying, we decrease our energy levels. But when you think about how big God is and that God is able to solve the problem and you get with somebody to pray, That's an important part. You know, we are the body of Christ. It is important to pray together. It is important to work through difficult situations and times together. We all go through them. And that's why God puts us together as a family. When a family goes through a difficult time, they stick together. Is that right? Even if the child has done something that you absolutely do not agree with, you're still going to be there for them. Is that right? You don't give up on the people that you love. So when we go through these fiery trials, and we all have plenty of them, we're to count it joy. That word count is an accounting term, just like you're counting money. We're counting this one as joy. I don't know how many trials you had this week, how many times you've been in the fire this week, but you can count it joy. If we would count our blessings instead of counting the negativities in our life and focus on the good things that God has done for us, it's amazing how human beings forget about the good things and they just focus on the bad, focus on the bad, focus on the bad. It's almost like you have to put a choker chain on them and jerk them back. It's like, look this way. You know, like the dog. Look this way. God wants to get our attention this morning. He's saying, count it joy. Yeah, you might have had a joyous week. I think I read some of your Facebook posts. I'm not so sure you did. Count it all joy. We don't like, it's not that you're liking it, okay? It's not like we like all of this, but we know God has a greater cause in our life. And so if God allowed it to come through his hands to you, then God is going to give you the grace and the strength to see you through it. Because God opens doors that no man can open. God can give you the wisdom that you need immediately on that situation. You don't have to fuss and fret about it and call everybody and tell him how bad it is. You just got to call on Jesus. Amen? He's got the answer. Tell somebody Jesus has got the answer. James said if we ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to us liberally. What's that word liberally mean? A lot. A lot. He'll give us a lot of wisdom. You might not be that smart. But God will give you wisdom. He promised it, you know? He promised it. I've often said I'm not that smart to know that. But hey, the Lord gave me wisdom. I've been sitting talking with people and the Lord will drop, download something in my spirit. And I'll be sitting there thinking, wow, God, that's really good. Thank you, Lord. Just use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. You know, when we say, yes, Lord, God will give us wisdom. He has called us to be the wisdom in this world right now. You've got what it takes because you've got Jesus Christ on the inside of you. Amen. I'm excited. Whew. Thank you, Lord. So in the process of the fire, God's working out his character in us, right? He's got to get rid of the character that you are and deposit on the inside of us his character, his attributes, and that's a process. Tell your neighbor, I'm in process. I was thinking about Paul's third prayer over the thorn in the flesh. You know, he asked the Lord three times to take it from him. And finally, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, he is strong. It's okay to be weak. We try to cover up. We're good at covering up, aren't we? But it's okay to be weak, because when we are weak, the Lord is strong. So number six, persevering in our trials. A, brother or sister sandpaper who rubs you the wrong way, how will you respond? Yeah, you're all laughing because you have some brother and sister sandpaper, right? It might be someone in the office. I hear Cindy laughing. But God uses those people around you to be your teachers. You know, when you're getting so irritated, if you just calm down, you could tell them, thank you for teaching me. Don't say no more. Teaching me to bite my cheeks, keep my mouth shut. But they are teachers. And when we look back on those tough situations and those hard times, we know that is when God was just working on us, and he uses people around us to do that. And that's okay, because that's the way he chose to do it. You know, we can't change God's ways, right? Amen. Amen. So B, when we persevere in trials, we're purified by the word of God. Let's see what Ephesians says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So it is the word of God that washes us. The word of God washes us, cleanses us, cleans up our mind, cleans up our conscience. It's like water poured over our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. We need a cleansing of that every day. You know, your soul gets defiled by things that you see, things that you hear. And we need that washing of the water of the word. And Christ, Jesus Christ, loved the church so much that he gave his life for the church. Yes, he gave his life for you as an individual, but his end result was to birth the church in the earth. And he has made the church the ruling force in the earth. And the church is beginning to awaken to their authority, to our authority, that when we pray, it might seem like something really simple. And you might think, well, it's not going to make that much difference. But you can pray, and it does make a difference. Because Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. The church is the one that should sit at the city gates. The church is the one that should be involved in government. And there are denominations and churches that teach against Christians being involved in government. But if we're not involved in government, then who is going to rule? When the righteous rule, there's peace. And God wants us involved in our community. He wants us involved out in the city and in the marketplace. We are the ones that watch the gate. We have the authority in the spirit realm to legislate what comes in our gate and what goes out. It's just that God wants us to be alert and aware of what's going on. And when he calls you to pray at 3 o'clock in the morning, get up and pray. Because our prayers is what shifts the atmosphere. When the saints of God, you can be sure you're not the only one he woke up at 3. Good grief, he probably woke up 5,000 intercessors across America to get up and start praying. Come on, join the army of the Lord. We fight a spiritual battle. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. Our prayers are mighty through God. We have the authority and the power of Jesus Christ to legislate into the earth realm. Come on, church. We pray on Thursday nights to legislate into the earth realm. That's what we do. We're not a measly little intercessor group that just sits around, kumbaya, my Lord. No, you will hear us warring and interceding on behalf of the church to arise and take its rightful place here in the earth. We are called to rule on all seven mountains, the mountains of our culture. There are different spheres of influence, and different people are called to different mountains. And you should know what mountain you're called to pray for. You know, the world is in such sadness because of suicides. People are hurting. Come on, people are hurting. It doesn't matter how famous you are. There's hurts and pains in life. And they don't have any place to turn. So I wonder who's on their mountain. Who's praying for them? We've got to be a witness. We've got to be a witness. We've got to be the light of the world. And you know there are, what, 77 veterans that commit suicide every day? Come on. The world is, our Americans are talking about the movie stars, but what about the veterans? There are people that are committing suicide every day that have lost hope. How sad. How sad, church. We've got to pray. We've got to intercede. We don't know. We just don't know what our veterans have been through and the scars of war and how those memories are there. Only Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And he can actually come into our past and relieve the hurt and pain from that memory. Did you know that? He can heal our heart and mind. He can come right into where we're at. Right where we need him when that event took place and heal us from that. Only Jesus Christ can do that. He does a deep spiritual work in us if we'll allow him to. And then our responsibility is to help others and guide others and bring them to Jesus so he can do that deep work in him. People are hurt and wounded as children. They go through traumas. And those traumas will stick with them their whole life and they resonate. They resonate this frequency in their body, in their memories, their whole life. Until Jesus comes. And will the memory still be there? Yes, it will. But the Lord can heal the pain from that moment. That was frozen in time. If you can just imagine when an event, a traumatic event happens, it's like this something bleeps. Because did you know your memory and your everything is out here? We think of everything in here. Your energy zone goes about 10 feet out from you. So you're in somebody's energy right now. We just haven't learned how to, or maybe we haven't taken the time to ask the Holy Spirit about this energy that's going on around us. But it's there. But this traumatic moment happens and it just hangs here. Have you ever felt like something was hanging over you? Like just following you? These events, memories, they're like here and they're just following you everywhere you go. Some people are dragging, if you can just think of them as these big bubbles out here, all these bubbles of hurt and pain. And when you get too close to them, you kind of back up and you think, oh, I don't think I want to hang out with that person. I don't think I want to be around them. And you don't even know why you're thinking that. And it's because of what they are letting out of their spirit. They're hurt. I teach our counselors that when you sense that, you want to just back up and not get involved, that's the time that you push in. That's the time you ask Jesus Christ, what do I do? You know, I'm really uncomfortable with something that's going on in this person's life, but I know you connected with me with them for a purpose. So Lord, show me your purpose, because I want my brother and sister free from hurts and pain so they can become all that God has called them to be. This is that work that God does in our heart, in our lives. We are body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And does it not say in the scripture that out of the heart flows the issues of life? The energy system from your heart goes about 10 feet around you. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. People know, can feel your issues. God knows our issues. But what is flowing out of us? You see, that's why God puts us through the fire. He's purifying us, because what flows out of us, God wants it to be something that is inviting, that people want to hang out with you. They're like, oh, I want some of that. You know, oh, he is so kind. I just want to be close to that guy. I don't know why, but something about that guy, something about his presence just invites me. See, that's what we want to be. We want God to flow out of our hearts. God to be the one that goes before us, hallelujah, and leads the way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're almost done. I don't even know where we're at. All right. 7. We're on fire for Jesus. Tell somebody, I'm on fire for Jesus. Another side to baptism of fire is the power aspect. We should be on fire for Jesus. Let's read Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. The early disciples burned with a zeal for God. D says, you want to read that with me? It's a question. Are our desires wrapped up in his desires? Psalm 69:9, because zeal for your house has eaten me up. I wanted to read this to you from Numbers. This is in the book. It says, we have been created to experience his fire burning inside us, baptized with fire. The early disciples burned with a zeal for God. Ask the Lord to baptize you with his fire and his zeal. God is looking for zealous men and women. In Numbers 25:11-13, it speaks of a zealous man. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites. He was as zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. Therefore tell him I am making my covenant of peace with him. He and his descendants have a covenant of lasting priesthood because he was zealous for the honor of his God and made atonement for the Israelites. The Lord honored Phinehas because he was zealous for his God. Are you zealous for your God today? Are you experiencing this type of baptism of fire? So Eleazar, because of his zealous, because of his love for God, because he was burning with a passion for the house of the Lord and the things of God, God withheld his judgment from those that were around him. Think about the difference your life can make. We think, I'm just one person. Well, Eleazar was one person. But he was on fire for God. He was on fire for God. And because of that, God made a covenant of peace with him. I want to be on fire for God. I want to have a covenant of peace with God. Because the peace of God passes my understanding. It fills my heart and my mind. And regardless of what's going on, regardless of the problems, hallelujah, I can walk in peace because my daddy God is taking care of me. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in his hand. And so we are going to close there today. I refuse to be afraid or worried about the opposition. Because, remember, a kite rises and flies against the wind. It goes up when the wind is blowing. When the winds of opposition come, when the winds of resistance comes, we should rise up on wings of eagles. I read a quote this week that says, triumphant, because we're called to be a triumphant church, right? Is when you put a try in your umph. So this week we're going to put a try in our umph, right? We will be triumphant. Tell your neighbor, I will be triumphant. Tell somebody else, I will be triumphant. Now tell them, you will be triumphant. And tell somebody else, you will be triumphant. Amen, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We seal it in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for continuing to teach us and, Lord, to give us your peace as we come through the fire. In Jesus' name, amen.